All right, if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Excuse me. We're going to be there in just a minute. Before we get started this morning, I want to recognize a special group of people. And then I've got a couple that I want to introduce you to and let you meet. But before we get going, if you were involved in our triple threat basketball as a coach, if you coached a team, would you just stand up? Go ahead. I know there's a pretty good group of you. Thank you. Great season. And I tell you what, it does not happen without these coaches. If you were involved in our triple threat basketball that you refereed, if you were a referee, would you stand up this morning if you refereed one game or 40 games? Or how about if you worked in the concessions? If you worked in the concessions at all, somewhere, some point. All right, now if you worked on the setup crew or the cleanup crew, stand up and let us recognize you this morning. All right, and then one last group. If at some point during our season you shared your story with people at halftime, would you stand up if you shared your story with people at halftime? All right, now just stay standing there for just a second, those of you. All right, now if at any point you've stood up this morning for being involved in triple threat basketball, would you stand back up? Here's what I want you to see, church. I want you to see that the ministries at this church don't happen without you. You're key to what we do. For those of you who are standing, I want you to know that whatever the eternal ramifications of triple threat basketball are, when the jewels are handed out in heaven for the impact that it made in people's lives, it does not matter whether you made nachos or swept floors or coached basketball teams or blew whistles or told your story. I want you to know you're going to get one of those jewels for your crown. And the best part of that is that crown is going to be fancier when you get to give it to Jesus. That's the reason that we do what we do here. And I know there's a whole bunch of eyes looking at you, but I want you to know that these two are looking at you, saying thank you for helping us have a great triple threat basketball season. We'll finish strong Wednesday night with celebration here at 6 o'clock. I'd love for each of you to come and join us for that, just to be here, welcome those families, encourage them. But we'll finish strong on Wednesday. But thank you so much. You are to be commended. Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about respectable sins. Oh, those okay sins in our lives that really aren't okay. We have a tendency to think that there are sins in our lives that we can manage, but the truth is, sin is not to be managed. Sin is to be confessed and repented of. Now, sometimes we're pretty good at the confession side. The repentance is the hard part, because confession says, God, I'm guilty, and repentance says, God, I'm going to go away from it, not that I'm going to do it again tomorrow and continue to let it be a practice and a part of my life. Repentance gives this idea of turning and walking away, not trying to manage. Now, when we started out, we talked about the fact that it starts right here. If we want revival to break out in our world, if we want revival to break out in our country, if we want revival to break out in our town, if we want revival to break out in our church, if we want revival to break out in us or in our church and all of those places, it has to start with us. Not only us as a church, but us as an individual. Then we talked about pride and the fact that pride has an audience. It's all about who your audience is. That there are traits, but that there's a kryptonite to pride. The fact that humility is a possibility. If you'll pray and ask God to give it to you, you can defeat that pride in your life. Last week we talked about anger and that there's a judgment that goes along with anger and that there's decisions to be made, because each of us understand the idea that anger is a secondary emotion. It's not a primary emotion. It's that something else happens and we respond with anger. And then we talked about the fact of how we relate differently to our brothers and sisters in Christ as opposed to how we relate to those who are not brothers and sisters in Christ as far as what our expectations are. And the expectation is not different. It's the timing of the expectation that's different. If you were here last week, that's the key. And then it helps us in that process of righteousness. This morning, we're going to look at two last sins that I think everybody in this room is probably at some point guilty of trying to manage as opposed to confess. It does not matter whether you're 7 years old or whether you're 30 or whether you're 70 or whether you're 80. Now, I will tell you this. I think the older you get, the more susceptible you are to these last two. Typically, it's the other way around. We're more susceptible as we're younger. And as we get older, we learn to do better with them. We learn to confess them, and we learn to overcome them with the power of the Spirit. But I think these two are just a little opposite, and they just go hand in hand. For each of us, I think we have three major concerns in all of our lives. I think the first one of those concerns is our health. Regardless of our age, we're all concerned because we all understand that at some point, the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die. Unless Jesus returns, death is on the horizon of every one of us here. We also understand the cost of health, whether it's insurance or whether it's doctor's visits or whether it's tests. We understand the interruption that health causes in our lives, whether it's sick days or whatever the case may be, and we worry about the idea of how it will affect our loved ones. The second place I think most of us have a concern in life is with finances. Whether it's because we got bills to pay or because we're worried about retirement, one of these days we'd like to not work and have enough money to do, or it's just because we see things on magazines or we see things on television or we see things that other people have and we'd like to have them or we'd like to go there. Finances are significant to us. And then last of those concerns I would say is our loved ones. Our loved ones are a concern, obviously, because we love them, but it's because we want them to be successful. We want them to have blessings. We want them to be safe. We want them to have opportunities. We want God to give them opportunities to be blessed and to move forward and to accomplish great things. But in all of those areas, the health and the finances and the loved ones, we all have those concerns. Now, I've got a couple of young ladies I would like to introduce you to this morning. One of those is Cora Walker. Cora, would you come up this morning? And the other one is Cora McGee. Would you two young ladies come up this morning? As these two young ladies come up, I want to... I want you to get to hear a little bit of their story. And sometimes we think, if you girls want to, go ahead and climb right up there, and I'll give you a microphone here in just a second. Now, I know there's always a danger of handing a kiddo. Can you get up there, girl? I'll hold it while you climb up. Oop, try it one more time. You got it. You need me to help you? Here, how about this? You ready? Here, you sit down in the front. Go right down here. All right, you ready? On three, you jump and I'll sit you. Ready? One, two, three, jump. There we go. Now we're cooking. All right, good. Now here's what you need to know about these two girls. Sometimes we think in life, you got to be 50 years old or 60 years old or 70 years old to have a story, and that's just not true. Sometimes you can be, how old are you, Cora?
Seven.
And how old are you, Cora?
Six.
Sometimes you can be six and seven and have a story to tell. Do you girls know what these are? They're prayer cards. You would know those, all of you out there. Here's what I want you to know. These prayer cards were filled out by these two. I'm fascinated at the things that they ask us to pray for in our prayer room. And so when I think about that, I had a couple of questions that I wanted to ask them this morning. Cora McGee... do you, when you ask for prayer requests, do you pray for big things on those prayer requests, or do you pray for little things?
Big.
You pray for big things, all right? And why do you think prayer is important?
Because God answers our prayers.
Because God answers our prayers. And so if you could tell people one thing, if you could tell all of this crew and the people that are watching us on Facebook, if you could tell them one thing about prayer that you think is really important, what would you tell them? You want to think on that one for a second?
Yeah.
Okay, you can think on that one for a second. And I'll ask Cora Walker a couple of questions. Cora, how often do you fill out a prayer card?
Every day I come to church.
Every Sunday, just about, we'll get a prayer card from Cora. Why do you think it is? Do you ask God for big things or do you ask God for little things? What kind of things do you write on your prayer cards?
Big.
Big things. Would you share any of those with us? Do you remember anything you've asked us to pray about? Can't remember some of them? All right, let me ask you this. If you could tell all of this crew this morning one thing about prayer, what would you tell them? Why do you think it's so important?
Because you got to tell God and Jesus what you want, and then if you keep praying the same thing, he'll give it to you.
That's right. We just continue to trust God and to trust him to give us the things that we know are blessings for us, right? How about you? Have you had a chance to think a minute? All right, why would you say, if you could say to them, why you write on your card and why you turn in prayer requests, why is it you do that? What difference do you think prayer makes to us? Why is it important?
Because God hears our prayers.
I mean, God does hear our prayers, and here's what I want you to catch. Now, those are pretty simple things for each of us, and there's not anything that they said that all of us don't know. But I want you to know there is something to the fact that the scriptures say we should be people of childlike faith. You see, what Cora said was, I just think if I ask God, he'll give it to me. Now, we know there's some things that we could ask for that God won't give us because God only wants his will for our life and what's good for us. And even for Cora to say, hey, I pray about the big things, but here's what I would tell you. Both of them said, I pray about big things, but I've read their prayer cards. And sometimes they write things that are big to them, but they're really not big. They just trust God to take care of them. But most of us, the way that we define big prayers and little prayers is if it pertains to us. You see, that's why both of them said, hey, what they asked for is big. No matter whether I think it's big or not, it's big to you, right? Okay? And no matter whether I think it's big or not, it's big to you. Would you give a hand to these girls? Thank y'all for coming up and sharing. You want me to help you down? Now, here's what I would tell you, something about those two. I was interested this week when I got to thinking about, for several weeks now, thinking about asking those two to come up and just share a little bit with you that they believe that prayer makes a difference in our lives. And those two little ones just jumped out in my mind. And then like you, I figured something out. They got the same name. They're both Chorus. So I thought at some point this week I should Google and see what does Cora mean. So I just typed it in. Here's what it said. It said Cora is a Greek word, which I thought was interesting. And it says it means just, honest, virtuous, or good. Just, honest, virtuous, or good. That may be true for most Coras. But I think for our Coras, it's just, honest, virtuous, and good. I think it's all of those. And the key to it is that even at their age, they have been taught that prayer makes a difference, and they just believe it makes a difference. When I think about those concerns that we have in life of health and finances and loved ones, I think it would ring true with every one of us. If you look what the scriptures say, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it's a verse that many of us are familiar with, and it says this, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You see, I think one of the things that if we were talking about hand in hand that each one of us deal with and each one of us try to manage as opposed to confess is worry. Now, I've never thought of myself as a worrier. I'm more of a doer, that I'll kind of take hands and put hands on and go, hey, let's figure this out. Let's take care of it. Whatever it is, we're going to get through it. But I found that's true for some things, but that's not true for other things. For other things, I'm very much a worrier. And I think for some of us in here, we would not classify ourselves as worriers unless we were honest to understand all the things we worry about or how much we worry about certain things, especially our health, our finances, and our loved ones. The kicker to worry is when we waver between our plan and our purpose. You see, what we worry about most of the time is our plan. What messes us up and causes worry in our lives is our plan. But when we work off of His purpose, it sure takes the worry out of things. That you just trust that He's in control. Do you remember of all the things the disciples could have asked Jesus? Hey, could you turn those fish and bread into enough food to feed 5,000 again? Could I see you make that guy see? I know somebody that's dead. Could you raise them back to life? Could you do that whole walk on water thing again? But when it came time for the disciples to ask Jesus to do something, do you remember what they asked Him? Lord, teach us to pray. Interesting, isn't it? And Jesus said this. He said, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then He says something that's really interesting. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's interesting. He starts out with adoration, hallowed be your name. And then He goes straight into your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will. For us, the thing that most often causes us worry is that we get concerned with our will. When things don't work our way, when things don't go the way that we want them to, then we worry about it. Or when we think they may not go our way, then we worry about it. If your desire is thy will, you won't have much worry in life. But you notice when you have worry in your life, what you're concerned with is my will. But it's interesting, He says, thy will be done on earth, here, as it is in heaven, there. How often do you think God's will is done in heaven? Sometimes, most times, all the times. All the times in heaven. He says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the danger for us is a lot of us have learned to quote that prayer in a locker room in a certain setting or maybe in a public setting. And we've learned to just skip right through it because we've got it memorized. But it's important. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done here as it is there. But worry causes us to look at our plan, or our plan causes us to worry as opposed to looking at God's purpose. But you got to know this. I want you to look in Matthew chapter 6. Verses 25 to 34, it's a lot, but I want you to hear this. It says, this is why I tell you, don't worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add a single cubit to his height by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Learn how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't He do much more for you, O you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? For the idolaters eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let me tell you something interesting about that last little verse. On Wednesday, when I asked Coral Walker if she would be willing to come up here and let me ask her a few questions about prayer, she said yes. And about 10 or 15 minutes, I was back in there where they were eating dinner. And Cora came and found me, and she said, "Hey, I'm not worried about talking Sunday." She said, "Because tomorrow I shouldn't worry about, because today has enough worries of its own." That's what she told me. She's 6. But it says, seek ye first. How do we do that? With the help of the Holy Spirit and asking him to help us seek Jesus first. And the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Remember, we talked about righteousness last week. For man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Right out of James. Right? And all these things will be added unto you. Here's what I want you to catch. The solution to worry is prayer. But the purpose of prayer is not to change God. The purpose of prayer is to transform us. You see, if we're not careful, we get in this idea prayer, the purpose of prayer is to get what we want. And certainly there are things that we ask for. God tells us to ask him for the things that we're concerned about. And we should. But ultimately, it's not to get those things. It's to transform our lives to have the same will and desire and wants that God has. Prayer is more about transformation than it is receiving. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says, many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. You know what that means? That means this. You got lots of plans. I got lots of plans. And you can pray all you want. And when you pray according to God's will, it'll happen. And when you pray not according to God's will, it won't, because we cannot thwart the plans of God. God's purposes are gonna happen. That's why it's so important that you understand, not my will, but thine. Do you remember who said that? Remember Jesus said, if you want to learn to pray like this. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Did he put that into practice? Yes, in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Jesus was the one that says, hey, not my will, but thine. I'd rather it work out like this. But if that's not your purpose, then change me and my plan so that my purpose is the same as yours. And then there's no need for worry. God's in control. Have I prayed and prayed and prayed about things that I hoped God would change? Yes. I would start with my mom and that God would heal her. I would start with my sister and that God would heal her. I've told you this before. People in their kindness try to say, God answered your prayers. Nope. They say, well, God healed her. He just healed her when she got to heaven. Hey, I hate to tell you, but that wasn't what I was praying, and God knew that. I was praying God would heal her here. Now, I never said, God, would you please heal my mom here? But he knew what I meant. It wasn't like after it was all over, God went, oh, that's what you meant. Sorry. But over the years, I've seen places where God's purpose has been better than my plan because of the things that God has done as a result, and things that I had to learn, and ways that I could relate to people that otherwise I'd have not been able to. It's significant for us to understand thy will be done. When I think about hand in hand, it's not only worry, but the other hand is doubt. With worry, we waver between plan and purpose, but with doubt, we wobble between fear and faith. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it's interesting. When we think in terms of doubt and we think in terms of the wobble between fear and faith, the wobble between being scared and concerned versus just trusting. Listen, isn't it interesting when you read the Genesis account of the first sin? It says Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say? What is the insinuation of did God really say? I just want to put a little doubt in your mind. Just a little. Not a whole lot. Just a little doubt goes a long way. Did God really say? But the solution to doubt is trust. The solution to doubt is that we just trust that God has a plan and that God is in control. We would all testify to that fact. We'll act that way a lot of times in life, but we don't think that way in our mind. The solution to doubt is trust. Did God really say? Well, let me ask you a question. What did God really say? One of the things he said is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God loves you. That's what he said. God said that he will provide. If you'll seek ye first, he will give you all of those things. God will provide. He said, I got a plan for your life. Plan to prosper you and not to harm you, but to give you hope and to give you a future. What did God say? God said, I love you. I will provide what you need. And I have a plan for your life that is best. Did he really say? Yeah, he really did say. He loves you, will provide for you, and has a plan for you. My favorite verse in all of the scriptures. By the way, there's so many of our people that shared their testimonies during Triple Threat Basketball. If you are one of those, if I could come around and pat you on the back and hand out attaboys, I would. You all did exceptional in sharing your stories. Several of you shared your favorite verse. My favorite verse is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When we think of Hebrews 11, 1, knowing that faith and trust is a solution to doubt, it's interesting that it says faith is the assurance of things hoped for. You see, assurance gives this idea of certainty, and hope gives an idea of anything but certainty. It's a want, it's a desire. But then he says, not only is faith the assurance of things hoped for, but it's also the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is factual stuff. Those things not seen are hearsay. They just won't allow it in court. You got to have facts. Facts of the things that you did not see. It's just hearsay. But I want you to understand something. While your hearsay and my hearsay is inconsequential in life, when the person you're quoting as hearsay is God, it's good. And the hearsay from God is that he loves you. And that he has a plan for you, and that he'll provide for you what you need. You don't have to doubt that, and you don't have to worry about that. It's trust. The solution to doubt is trust. I want you to listen over in Hebrews. I want to read something to you, and we'll finish up this morning in Hebrews chapter 11. Just listen to this. It's one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. It's a bunch, but I'm going to read it pretty fast. Verse 1, now faith is the evidence, the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of not things not seen. Verse 2, for our ancestors won God's approval by faith. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by God's command so that what is seen has been made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not experience death, and he was not to be found because God took him away. By faith, Noah, after he was warned about what was not yet seen and motivated by godly fear, he built an ark to deliver his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went out to a place he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city that has a foundation whose architect and builder is God. You see, he wasn't thinking about where he was going to live. He was thinking about where he was going to go. By faith, even Sarah herself, when she was unable to have children, received power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age, since she considered the one who had promised was faithful. These all died in faith without having received the promises, but they saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents. Now those who say things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they were thinking about where they came from, they would have an opportunity to relearn. But they now desire a better place, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Then it talks about Abraham, and it talks about Isaac and Jacob. And by faith, after Moses was born, he was hidden by his parents for 3 months. You ever stop about to think about the story of Moses? Moses' faith started out by his mom having faith. For some of you, your greatest doubt and your greatest worry is your children. Can I tell you something? Relax, God loves them more than you do. Some of you are so concerned about the safety and the health of your children. You just mother hen them to death. Can I tell you something? Relax. God loves them most. Do you trust him? You say you trust him. Do you trust him? If you do, then quit worrying about your children. Quit doubting that God will take care of them. God has a plan for their life, just like he has a plan for your life and my life. I want you to hear this one last part. In verse 32, it says, he's talked about different ones, and Rahab, a prostitute, and he says, and what more can I say? Time is too short for me to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. By the way, if you want to read some interesting things, go search those guys and read their stories in the Bible. Who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Remember that, escape the edge of the sword, that's important. Gained strength after being weak, became mighty in battle, and put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead, they were raised to life again. Some men were tortured, not accepting release so that they might gain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, as well as bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed in two. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Right up there, two verses, it said some of them escaped the sword. Lucky for them. And two verses later, it says some of them were sawn in two. Why is that? Because God has a purpose. In good times, God has a purpose. In bad times, God has a purpose. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they died by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and on mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. Does that sound like people that have mansions? And we worry so much about our cars and our houses. It says they lived in caves and holes. I think, by the way, a hole in the ground is a downgrade from a cave. Hard to imagine that you would live in such a spot that you looked at the guy living in a cave and went, man, I wish I could live there. All these were approved through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised, since God had promised something better for us, so that they would not be made perfect without us. Their faith is perfected by us trusting their story and seeing their faith that they did neither worry nor did they doubt, because they trusted and they prayed. When I was a kid, we used to sing a song. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. You know it. Are you going to believe it? Or are you going to worry about it? Or are you just going to doubt it? Every time the devil says, did he really say that? Does he have the whole world in his hands? Or just part of it? Most of it. He's got the whole world in his hands. There's no need to worry. Just pray. There's no need to doubt. Just trust. Worry and doubt create stress. It's not good for us physically. It's not good for us mentally. And it's not good for us emotionally. And it certainly isn't good for us relationally. But prayer and trust create peace. Remember when he said, and I will go from here, and I will send you a comforter, one who brings peace. The Holy Spirit is the way that God uses to help us trust and pray. Could your life be described as peace? If not, it can only be worry or doubt. And the truth is, both worry and doubt need to be confessed, not managed. I'm guilty. I'm a worrier. I'm not a doubter. But I got things I worry about. And just like I have to trust God's plan and God's purpose, so do you. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would forgive me for worrying. I pray that you'd help me to trust. I pray for all of us that you'd help us to not be worriers and doubters, because the truth is, worry and doubt just go hand in hand. Lord, I pray you help us to not try to manage it, but that we would confess it. I pray for those here today who are not people of peace because they have doubt or worry, or doubt and worry. I pray that today they would come and lay them at the altar and trust you that you're in control and you have a purpose. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.